February the 6th. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Supervisor, Mr. Wilson. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Great to be here.
How you been?
I've been pretty good.
The rains didn't get you and all that kind of stuff?
I love rain.
Do you?
I wouldn't be here if I did.
Well, that's right, being a water guy. Yeah. I like it in maybe quarter-inch increments at night. You know, the Richard Harris, the Camelot.
Oh, yeah.
That's how I want it, you know. That's how conditions are.
I kind of like geeking out on it when it rains hard. Go out and, you know, see what's flowing and
watch stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, I suppose if I had a big roaring fire, it might be more fun to come home after that other than just coming home wet.
You have to work on that.
Yeah, I know. All righty. Why do they say that this morning? Comedy. What is the origin of the word comedy?
Oh, I don't know. Something communal.
Okay.
Something with being together or something. I don't know.
This word is Greek and literally means a village singer.
See? Coming together.
Greek villages once held revels at which the village bards sang songs that told the story.
Mm-hmm.
Out of this practice grew Greek drama and comedy.
See, there you go.
The two masks.
Community coming together to laugh. It takes a community to laugh.
A Greek village to laugh.
There you go.
All right. Now, speaking of villages and coming together and that stuff, you wanted to kind of springboard into a community meeting that's happening a little bit later on.
Yep, this evening. Yep, here on Wednesday. On the 6th, we're having a meeting. The county planning department's having a meeting at a Freshwater Community Hall, which used to be the Grange in Freshwater. And it's really to talk about the updates to the zoning and the mapping that came out of our general plan process. Our general plan process basically kind of gave direction in terms of land use designations, meaning this is, you know, overall what we'd like to see the community character to look like in terms of its growth.
And more rounded corners rather than sharp, rigid corners.
Okay. Exactly, sort of policy-based. And then from that, you create your zoning ordinances and your maps. And so everyone has a parcel, and on that parcel, there's some mapping about whether it's which one zoning other another, whether it's ag or residential or timber.
So this is the specificity of that rounded being shared with the community.
Right. And a couple of things. So we've done the general plan process, and that was approved, and that was a long, arduous 17 years of stuff. And
stuff is a good word.
Yeah. And then after that, what you do is you basically have to do the mapping and the zoning language. It's really the specifics about that. And so we're coming back to these various communities and checking in and saying, okay, we've done these designations. Now, what's the language of the zoning? How do we define timber and ag and residential? What are we trying to protect? What are the performance standards that we would expect if we're really trying to meet those goals? And then we do mapping. What had happened a couple months ago is the Planning Commission had forwarded to our board about almost 500,000 acres of rezone from our unclassified zonings, things that hadn't been zoned before. And the board
just had no classification just at all?
Unclassified. And unclassified in Humboldt County basically meant like an ag zoning with a residential accessory dwelling.
So it didn't really qualify as one thing purely or another.
Right. Yeah. And so that happened, and that kind of raised the issue of, well, wait, before we do all of that mapping, we should probably define, and by mapping, you know, you're putting these zoning designations down on everything.
That's the lockdown.
You're right. Before we do that, we should probably define what those zonings mean for real, so that both the landowner and the landowner's neighbors, and as themselves landowners, understand what it is that these zonings mean. Because with every designation, you can have several different kinds of zoning. So if you're saying, hey, this is an area for timber over here, you might have ag that's, ag commercial, or you might have timber TPZ, or now we have a new timber exclusive zoning, and there's these. So you might fit within.
These are still kind of like super headings.
Right.
without getting down in. Okay.
And so this is kind of the nitty gritty of that. And this is where communities can say, like, we're a community and we'd like to make sure that our zoning language requires sidewalks in this area over here. Or we would like to make sure that setbacks are something that match the existing residences. Or we want to make sure that our agricultural values are protected within our ag zonings. And, you know, maybe that means that development is, you know, over near something or has a setback or whatever it is. And so this is the way the community can create some of those standards or at least express those standards so that the planning staff and then eventually our board can help to make sure that those are codified and so that people can retain characters that they want in their, you know, character of their community or even promote changes that they'd like to see.
So as a simple example for simple minds, me,
okay,
sidewalk.
Okay. Okay.
That's a nice, easy one. I think
right.
A sidewalk is a sidewalk is a sidewalk kind of thing.
Well.
So if you at the meeting this evening come away with, okay, we want sidewalks on this kind of designation of property.
For instance, right.
In the neighborhood.
Right.
Okay, fine. Does that then have to also be applied to all other lands within the county, within the jurisdiction of the general plan?
No.
All sidewalks have to be there.
In terms of that zoning designation? No. That's and you can basically that it can be that way. But then also we have overlays for certain communities. So a certain community within a certain area and ag zoning can have an overlay that adds a few things or takes away a few things to make that area, you know, protected or
so that
enhanced.
Doesn't set precedent, say, for then Shelter Cove.
It only sets precedent if that community in Shelter Cove says we want the same thing.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
You love Easy Radio, singing out loud, really out loud, to your favorite songs. But what about when you're traveling out of the area? Easy Radio can be heard throughout the area on 910 AM and 104.1 FM in Curry and Del Norte counties. And if you're in Humboldt County, 980 AM. That's Easy Radio, 910 AM in Brookings, 104.1 FM in Del Norte and Curry County, and 980 AM in Humboldt County. Good radio is easy.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mike Wilson. Mike, the concept of the general plan and the actual implementation of, it sounds like it's much more detailed, more layers
right.
to get down to, because the example we used before the break was sidewalk.
Which probably not as applicable in the area of where we're talking about, which was freshwater.
Sure.
And so,
it's non-emotional because it's not going to be, it won't be there.
Right. That's not, yeah. And by the way, we have another meeting like this for the Bayside Jacoby Creek area on Monday the 11th, too. Both of these are at 6:30 p.m.
So
there's others around the county, but these are the ones that are in my district.
Is there any transferables from these? Or is it really that community specifically? We want to define this in this fashion. That's it. It's not precedent setting. It doesn't apply to anything else. It may be a good model, as you indicated, that might want to be adopted or considered by another community, but it has no legal,
well,
they did, so you must.
No. But I do think that the precedent in terms of other communities having similar thoughts about how they want to, say, preserve ag lands in their community. So when they look out and say they see a 40-acre parcel or a 20-acre parcel of ag land, then how is it that you can both have a residence on that ag land, but at the same time, you know, preserve the values that you see in that space? So there are, you can put some performance standards, or basically standards, you know, on that. Like we see in residential areas everywhere, there's some sort of standards, and that helps guide the, you know, the things you want to protect and the things you want to promote. So,
well, you still want some continuity, I would suspect, right, throughout the county.
Right.
That it's not one area defines it as black and another defines it as
white.
And
we have policies within the general plan that say we want to protect agricultural resources. We want to protect timber resources, right? So we have a lot of timber lands in Humboldt County, and we, and the general plan process principally permitted residential development on every ag and timber parcel in the county, which is a very unusual thing to do, especially post fires, the fire situation. We just, as a land use policy, it's quite risky to, from that perspective. But there's ways that we can help mitigate that in terms of making sure that there's, you know, fire safety standards, that the, if you're going to build a residence, it's closer to the road, for instance, so that you don't, you know, emergency personnel are not having a hard time finding and getting to people. Or if it's, say, timber that you're trying to, because we both want to maybe have some more housing, but we also really want to make sure we protect our timber resources, because it's a job resource in the, you know, for us in the future. We want to make sure that we have that resource. If we just willy-nilly pop houses around without any thought about where things go, we could be losing a lot of resources in that, and we could be having a lot of conflict. So, like, you're putting houses next to places that get logged, and then there's conflicts in the future. But then also, is it loggable? Like, can you actually get in there if you build a house right on top of the landing, you know, where the old logging landing is? And so there are some ways that we can make sure that we're doing our best. I mean, you're never perfect, and we are, you know, moving in a certain direction, but how can we make it so that we are doing our best to preserve our timber resources, our agricultural resources, our water quality that we rely on? So certainly where we get our water, our sewer matters in terms of, you know, how many septic systems are in a watershed. And
sure, everything, the balance that, is still in play.
Yeah, we still have to account for all those things. And a lot of the ways we do that is in the details of the zoning language. And we do that in response to the, you know, people asking and saying these are the things that they want. And so that's what these meetings are about.
The term, you'd said it and kind of blew through it, and not to bag on you.
The nerd in me.
It gets used regularly.
Yeah.
Principally permitted.
Ah.
Which, yeah. I mean, for decades, when
right.
you said it, I kind of went, hey, wait a minute. Something.
Okay,
that
right.
definition of principally permitted, is that
well, it's
the reference point where everything then comes off of for that type of property?
Currently, because that's a big change for us, because before the general plan, the residential uses of all in all of our ag and timber parcels was ancillary instead of principally per, meaning you put a residence there, it's supposed to support agriculture. It's supposed to support timber if that's what the zoning is.
Not in opposition of.
But. Right. In support of. Now, since it's principally permitted, the language is just don't get in the way of it, which is a different standard. And so if we really want things not to get in the way of these things we say we want to value, then we need to make sure that we have some language that does that.
So let's go to a farm scenario.
Sure.
I think Midwest farm, right? Okay, so we got a wheat field.
Ferndale farm.
And here's a tract, and there's wheat there.
Yeah.
Okay. So for what we're talking about, someone wants to build a house on their farmland.
Say it's a 20-acre square.
Sure. Would it then require them to locate it in a certain part of that property, like towards the edges, or
for instance,
in the center, or close to the road? I mean,
right.
that kind of functional definition.
Right. So if we really are saying we want to protect the agricultural resource of that land, then we want to make as much of it contiguous so that a farmer, whether it's the owner of the property or someone that they lease to, it's farmable. And so if you take a 20-acre parcel and you plop down a you know, a 50,000 square foot, whatever, a 20,000 square foot house with a 3-car garage, and you put it in the middle of that, like right in the middle of the square, it makes it very difficult to retain the value of agriculture that we as a community would like to retain. But if you have some standards that says, well, it's a, you know, closer to the edge, or the envelope, which is the edge of it, is somewhat smaller, or you're looking for areas that don't have, say, ag soils or prime agricultural soils, whatever it is. Yeah. So you set some guidelines so that you're protecting the thing that you say you're going to protect in those guidelines, and communities have a voice in how that happens.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
As a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor Mike Wilson. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, and by Redec. Mike, the concept of the general plan is one thing. The actual application.
That's now what we're working on now,
Is the meeting this evening and the other meetings scheduled through the month. Is this informational? Broad brush, informational, educational, or is this final chance for feedback, guys, before we start to lock things into place?
All of those things. Yeah, because every step of the way, you know, there's either people need to hear these definitions like we're talking about, or these issues from the perspective of the planners that work for the county, and that sort of thing. So they're speaking more closely the same language, I guess you'd say. And then really this is to get feedback from the community and asking them, what are the values you want to either retain or promote? And then the staff can then try and incorporate those within the confines of the general plan to actually put that into some sort of, codify that, I guess.
So with the public hearings that have been held over that epoch of the general plan development, are those have already been incorporated into this document and the plans that are being presented? So is this another chance to go back to the same thing, or is this more that fine tuning at the end and, no, guys, we're not going back. We're going forward on this.
As I said, yeah, this is within the confines of the language of the general plan currently. So while the zoning language is currently fairly vague, we have policies that are in the general plan that then need to, what we say, like you would, we're vertically looking for vertical consistency, I guess you'd say. I know it's a pretty nerdy term, but it's basically you're making sure that those policies that you said you were really into actually translate into the language in the zoning.
Perhaps in a similar way is the discussion now has been bracketed into a tight area. And that's where we're talking. We're not going into the other areas.
Yeah, it's not going to. Okay. We're not looking to change the general plan. We're looking to look at the general plans and the brackets that it. Because even within a general plan, it has interpretive brackets that you interpret between, and then looking those and saying, where do you want to be? you know, this community tonight's, we'll be talking to Freshwater, and again on Monday it'll be the Bayside area and Jacoby Creek, and there are others around the county, and I've just kind of got my head wrapped around the ones that are in my district, but there are some in Southern Humboldt, there's some in Eastern Humboldt, we're having those meetings kind of all over the place, and we're reaching out to various communities too, of in terms of like the Farm Bureau and the Williamson Act group and the fire,
more the industries and that interact with these properties,
groups that do that. I mean, and of course even the environmental organizations and everybody else, you know, we're reaching out to everybody, and the real estate agents and everybody,
just
so that,
everybody
mm-hmm. Yeah,
this, what I've got from this is we're talking parcel by parcel. I mean, it may not be quite that bad, but, you know, or this neighborhood, and we've got three different parcels that are all zoned the same. Okay. How do you avoid with this somebody having an axe to grind with the guy next door or the guy across the street?
Mm-hmm.
And, well, you know, he may want this, but as a neighbor, I want that kind of stuff that you would like never to have to deal with, never experience, but, you know, people are people.
Yeah.
How do you avoid that, or do you just kind of have it done in public session, and, you know, if the neighbors feed on neighbors, then we'll just kind of sit back and watch and get a better understanding of the emotional that's
going on. In general, where we really avoid the parcel-by-parcel sort of situation. But it is an illustration of sort of the dichotomy, I guess, the contrast between, you know, the property rights perspective, of which, you know, there's nothing that's absolute. So it's like you have property rights, but then you have your responsibilities or your encumbrances, the things you can't do, right? And to be, you know, frank, a lot of our property value doesn't come necessarily from our property rights, which we do get some from that, but it really comes from the encumbrances, the things our neighbors can't do around us, really, and that protects our property values, and it protects our quality of life, and it protects our neighborhood character and what it is. And so oftentimes we are, even within ourselves, wishing, I want to do more with my what I want to do, but then realizing, wait, if I can do whatever I want to do, and that
so can so and so.
So yeah, and so we live within that balance, and that's really what this is about, is like figuring out what that balance is within your community, so that you're moving forward both, you know, economically good in terms of, you know, the property values and your quality of life, but then also in terms of just feeling like, you know, that you have the freedom to be able to, you know, function within your property.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Hey, Humboldt County. The folks at Fly Humboldt want to say thank you for all your support. The new Los Angeles flight is a great success. The planes have been full, so book now for your holiday travel. Don't miss getting a flight home for the holidays. And just in case you haven't heard, we'll have direct flights to Denver starting June 7th. You'll only be a couple hours away from the Mile High City whenever you want to go. This makes connecting to the world even easier. Get more information at flyhumboldt.org or email us at info@flyhumboldt.org. Happy holidays.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back talking shop this morning. Exciting stuff.
Yeah.
General plan.
Geeking out on
version
land uses.
48,212.
I'm sure everyone's like, wake up, everybody.
Yeah.
if you're already slow this morning, we're...
Yeah. It kind of sounds to me, Mike, that this is really what the general plan is all about.
Yep.
The other stuff might be a little bit more theoretical, and, you know, we'll let the big boys slug it out. But this is me and mine, you and yours. This is the neighborhood. This is that kind of opportunity for people to come together.
Yeah. And certainly in the areas where we're talking about these two watersheds in particular, between Arcata and Eureka, there are the areas that are going to see, you know, if we're going to see pressure, growth pressure, development pressure into our resource lands, this is going to be the first place where we're really going to see it. So when we see, as we've had in the past, every time there's a change in the economy, we call them equity migrants, people who sell whatever it is, and they come up here, they can sell a $1 million house and, you know,
do it. The transplants.
And then we're really starting to talk and see impacts from climate refugees from the fires, from just
cold,
cold, and from heat in other places. And this is a very temperate place. I think we're starting to see that happen too. And so the pressure to develop in those areas, and so the view shed, even where we drive between Eureka and Arcata, and we really appreciate when we go into that open space and we see those hillsides and they look beautiful. Part this is in that discussion too, and when we're going up into those valleys where we see those farmlands, and what do we want those to be like and look like 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now? And so that's where this is where we make that determination, you know.
I don't think I'm going to have a whole lot of eyesight in about 50 years. 40, 30 maybe.
Well, you know, but we don't worry about ourselves.
Yeah. It's, yeah, this is part of that legacy part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what do we want to leave our kids?
So when you have a community, and let's look at freshwater since that's the one that's this evening. Historically it was one thing. Mm-hmm. I think we've all seen the pictures of the ox and the logs being pulled down, and 20 years ago it was a little bit different. Today it's a little bit different. Part of that is the nuances of the individual property owners. Part of it is who has moved in, who hasn't moved in, things of that nature. If you come out and everybody says, we want sidewalks, that next guy has to put in a sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
Not me.
Right.
The next guy.
Yeah, that's one of those things when they – again, I'm not expecting that for this location, and that maybe it was a bad example.
But it could be in a community somewhere right. That is going to be going through the process.
Right, and you know, and then that is a 20-year vision, right? So as properties change over, then pieces get built, and we've seen that in McKinleyville and other places.
Well, Cutton certainly is going to be having something along
right.
those lines.
Right, and I mean, that's sort of the problem, like when we allow for developments that don't put in those things, and then
or historically they just weren't there.
You put them together piece by piece. I mean, even Blue Lake has that too, right, in parts of Blue Lake. And it's just it's one of those things about rural living. We sometimes it's a hodgepodge here and there, and you know, you do your best to make some conformity and some individuality, and so you're trying to create a character that's both interesting, a place to live, and a community based. I mean, we want to get along with our neighbors, and we want to.
What about septic tanks and water systems and things of that nature? Are those this?
Yeah.
Or is that a different?
No, that's
different thing that goes on.
That's to be considered in these too, because all of these watersheds have capacities in terms of like what they can filter out in terms of sewage or what water source we have. And
right, or if everybody's on septic now.
Well, and even if you're on septic, then you're likely on a well or a spring, and climate change is having an impact on our watersheds. We're seeing the mapping and the modeling showing in Humboldt County it's starting to dry out. That's impacting us with fire. So this all plays into fire. We have over 1 million acres of our resource lands that are not in fire districts.
Yeah.
And that's a big problem too. So it's like, because for every one of these things that we allow folks to say develop into those zones, then ultimately we will actually have to be responsible for dealing with that later.
I just am thinking of some transplant out of LA comes up. A septic tank? What's that?
Well,
too much fun. Hopefully folks will show up this evening for you.
Yep, hope they do. And again, on Monday night for the Jacoby Creek and Bayside version of this, 6:30 p.m. Come on out.
Thanks for coming by. See everybody
Always
tomorrow.
Good.